Welcome to Mornings with Matt White, right here on SEN.
Hi everybody, welcome to the morning show. There could be some light rain falling later today. It's going to get wet towards the end of the week as well, and a fair bit of rain heading our way on the weekend. Let's get into footy. Are you ready for another 3 to 4 months of rugby league players taking a dive or trying to milk penalties? Well, let's hope not. But let's face it, with the NRL's head of football, Graham Annesley, saying yesterday the league would look at this issue at the end of the season, do you think players are going to stop doing it if they're not being pulled up and penalised until next year? This is the NRL's next headache. In fact, it's the now headache. And league headquarters, in my opinion, is caught in a jam. The blowback that they've copped for introducing the high shot crackdown during the season without proper consultation, that's been acknowledged, means that they have to wait on this one. They have to sit back and wait, because if they rush something in again and it doesn't work again, all hell's going to break loose. The NRL is trying to put out spot fires as the wildfire burns. And at the moment, in the case of players staying down and feigning injuries and milking penalties, City Hall is playing catch-up. It's the time-honoured situation of the Crims being one step ahead of the cops. So this one sits with the players. It's that easy. For the good of the game, for the sake of the fans who pay for their tickets, who buy their subscriptions, whose investment is eventually what comes back to your hip pocket, stop taking a dive. Now, the NRL's current state, as we know, it's all complicated. And that's on the game. That's on the game to fix. But this one is black and white. And it's very simply on the players. What do you think? Let me know. 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. But it's Wednesday morning, so let's get into it.
He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
Morning, Webby. What do you reckon?
Good morning, Matt. Well, first of all, can I say great to be joining you from Adelaide. How is it down there? I've seen your little head on the screen here.
And my downtown Adelaide. I'm here for the Australian swimming trials. I've been here all week. So we had night four last night at the pool. Kyle Chalmers was unbelievable.
No
mate.
Dramas, Chalmers.
He was incredible in the 100 metres freestyle. He's like, when he gets into the groove, when he's at the back end of the race, he's like a water skier who's coming out of the water for the first time. So he's being pulled behind the boat, and you know when that water skiff eventually pops up and all the water comes up with him and he ends up on top of the water. That's what he's like. He's a motorboat. He's huge. He's massive. He's got a huge frame, and he got going last night. So it's been terrific down here. Good to have you in our studio. Our Microsoft Teams is working well, and I'm looking straight up your nose. So you're looking a treat this morning.
Fantastic. Luckily, I clipped the hair out before I came in. I'm in pole position too. In the main studio, so I'm not just to the little dog box at the side. Yes. I'm at the main control of the Starship Enterprise, so I'm feeling quite. Yeah.
That's a worry.
I'm feeling quite arrogant, like most people who stand in this sit in this seat.
Where do you stand on this situation? You would have heard my say just then.
I did.
It occurred to me as I was watching Graham Annesley that they're one step behind here at the moment. They're on the back foot, the NRL, on a lot of issues. But in my opinion, on this issue, Webby, the players are the ones who have to take responsibility to fix this.
I agree with you about 90%. To dive or not to dive, that has become the question in the NRL. Never highlighted so much as when Jack Hetherington copped a little stray hand in the face on Monday against the Dragons, looked up at the referee, didn't get the penalty, then put his head on the ground as if he'd just been shot by a sniper from someone sitting in the stand at ANZ Stadium. The video ref had a look at it, and then they got the penalty. Now, that's not a good look for the game. That's on Jack Hetherington. That's on all the other players in the last few weeks who have been taking a dive. But the main question is what the NRL can do about it. So Graham Annesley has come out in the last 24 hours and said, we'll look at taking sanctions, but probably won't do it till the end of the year, because God knows they won't put in a rule change mid-year like they have about 8 in the last 2 seasons, but they might look at it at the end of the year. This gets eliminated straight away if we get rid of one of those spot fires from the wildfire that you referred to in your opener, if they stop the bunker from interfering in the game. If the head high crackdown was just kept to what the referee and what the touch judge see on the field, instead of the bunker putting his nose in and seeing any incidental contact to the head and saying, well, that's got to be a penalty or a sin bin or a send-off. So if the bunker doesn't interfere like he did the other day in the Bulldogs-Dragons game, we don't have this issue. This issue is eliminated, not completely from the game, because players will always take a dive. There'll always be gamesmanship. There'll always be a debate about whether it's the right thing to do or not. And I think you'll find most of the old school players will say that it's not. But if you remove that element from the game where the bunker is sticking its nose in, where I'd say most fans of the game and most players don't want it to be, then we aren't even talking about this morning.
I get that, Webby, but I get also that the situation is that the bunker's there and the bunker is going to stick its nose in. So it's not something that we can go along to headquarters and shut the bunker doors and say we're closing that little chapter. And
that's only because of this edict, Matty. They never used to. Why they can't go back to almost anyone with any common sense seems to say is to just let the bunker rule on tries, like it used to be, as it has been at various stages over the years. So, yeah, I agree with you. The onus is on the player, but the NRL can do something about it, and that, as opposed to these stupid reasons that were tossed up by Annesley yesterday about maybe if you stay down, then you've got to go off the field for 2 minutes. I mean, really, what is that gibber? What is that? Is that rugby league?
Well, that's where we're going to go straight back down the path.
We don't know whether you really concussed or not, but we're going to go put you in the naughty bin for 2 minutes or just cool your heels for 2 minutes while we bring you back on. What is the game becoming? Fair dinkum, what is it becoming? I don't know what it is. It's certainly not the game that I grew up supporting. I love this seat. I love this area.
I'm very
emboldened.
You're the man of power.
Entitled.
You're the emperor.
I am.
But this is where we go back down the path. We're going to go round and round in circles until the end of the year on the crackdown on all of these issues. We are not going to get a solution. What we can get a solution on in this department of milking and diving, we can get a solution from the players. Now, the players came out hard and fast and said, we weren't consulted in this process of the crackdown. You didn't come to us. You didn't respect us.
Yep.
So they said, had all of this taken place and we all sat down and got on the same page, then we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. I think we all agree with that. 100%
yes.
Agreed. However, the players have a responsibility. And if the players have a responsibility in this part to clean up the milking, the diving in the game that's come into rugby league's not about diving. And there's only one person at the moment who can fix it, and it's the player who's going to take a dive.
Yep.
So let's take the ref out of it, take the bunker out of it, take headquarters out of it, take Graham Annesley, and as much as we want to bash Peter Volandis over the head over anything that he tries to bring in, let's put it back to the people who said, consult us, give us some responsibility. They've got the responsibility. Stop taking a bloody dive because it's not rugby league.
Yeah, as I said, I 90% agree with you, but I just think the NRL have made a rod for its own back.
Let's have a listen to what Graham Annesley said about this in terms of milking penalties. Let's see if we can make any sense of it.
We do at times see players who will stay on the ground. The referee will stop the play and then there'll be a review, and that may or may not bring a penalty. Are we seeing some gamesmanship around some of that? I think we probably are. If we think a trend develops and it continues, then we will be left with no alternative but to look at rule change options at the end of the season to try and address it.
The politician came out in Graham there. He knew he had to say at the end of the season. But like I say, Webby, on this one, City Hall is out of the loop here. The Crims are ahead of the cops and they're not going to catch him.
Do you know what my favourite Graham Annesley story is? And he denies it, but I know other people of the NRL have said that he once made his bed before he checked out of a hotel room. He says it's not right. I do love, his nickname's Felix. I do love Graham, and I get on with him well. And I have to say, I actually feel sorry for him because he's having to implement some of the lunacy that the ARL Commission have made him implement. And I think he's been very diplomatic and very political when he talks about it at his Monday briefing for all the journalists. Mm-hmm. And again, I do agree with you with this one in terms of the diving. Most of it is on the players, but have we not seen the trend that Graham Annesley says may or may not exist since the bunker has become the all-powerful, all-seeing eye in the sky of this game?
100%.
That's the question.
100%. So maybe, the trend is there.
Maybe it's everybody's fault. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's the fans' fault.
Of course it is. It's not gamesmanship, I'll tell you that much. It's what they're doing to get an advantage for their team. My point is that the players have an opportunity right now to say, we'll lead this. We don't need to wait for sanctions to come in. We don't need for trends, and we don't need for all this talk and summits and blah, blah, blah. We'll lead it.
It's 480 players. You can't just group the players all into one. Like, I know some clubs that wouldn't do it for sure.
Correct.
Some players that wouldn't do it for sure.
So where are we at?
So, well, I just think it's going to continue. I can't see there being a dramatic change, excuse me, in some players doing it unless the edict for the bunker to get involved in alleged high shots doesn't change.
Well,
maybe if the players bend, Matty, then why doesn't the NRL bend a little bit? Can they not see in the last month since the Magic Round that their head-high crackdown has been completely stuffed up? When is someone at the NRL going to go, you know what, we got this one wrong. But that's not in their nature to do it. So I think there has to be a little bit each way. But that's not in the current administration's vocabulary to say they're wrong.
Well, at the moment, you get the feeling on a lot of things that the end of the year can't come soon enough. I just don't know how many fans are going to have the patience to go through the inconsistencies, there's the word, up until the end of the year. And if milking's now going to become as big an issue as getting slapped across the face and being sent off, what's a send-off, what's a sin bin, then we're starting to go down a murky road that is going to get even murkier towards the end of the year. Victor Radley gets kicked off a plane at the Gold Coast. Mm. Webby, what sanctions does he face? What happens next on this one?
I'm not entirely sure where this is going to go, but I dare say he'd be facing another sanction. He already has a suspended sentence from an incident earlier this year in Byron Bay where he crash-tackled a dribbler on the drink. Something we've all probably done at some stage, whether we were the crasher or the crashee. Exactly. <That's it. laughs> Details of all those incidents are sketchy in some of our lives. The Roosters are looking into it at the moment. They're being fairly tight-lipped, I have to say, when I try to sniff around it yesterday and this morning. I think they might be sitting down with him today to get a better idea of what has happened. Look, if Victor Radley gets kicked off a plane for being too drunk or whatever, I don't really care. But in the current climate, where the image of the game is sacrosanct, and given the fact that he's had an incident before, then I'd be surprised if they didn't sanction him again.
All right, we'll find out and wait and see what happens with Victor Radley. We are doing Wednesdays with Webby. Andrew Webster, the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. Let us know your thoughts. Players taking a dive, where does the onus lay here? Do we have to bend at the NRL? Do we have to bend at the players? Do the players have an opportunity to at least clean up one aspect of the game that is a bit of a mess at the moment? 0457 736 736 or give us a call, 1300 01 1170. With Andrew Webster this morning, the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald, on the text line, Matty, taking a dive just isn't rugby league. Incidentally, there were 17 Dragons players who faked being rugby league players on Monday. Ouch. Ouch.
Oh, zing.
Ouch, Aruni. That one hurts. Thank you to the Port Macquarie Pearl for that one. 0457 736 736. Webby, it was the week that we farewelled Boyd Cordner from rugby league. A very emotional press conference. You were there.
I was there. I was about a foot away from Boyd Cordner in that press conference. I thought it was very telling of the man that he refused to sit down. He wanted to stand up. He wanted things to be as normal as possible for his final press conference when he said goodbye to the game. And it was hard for him to contain his emotions. It was funny, not hilarious, but it was very strange because I was on one side and Danny Whitehill was on the other, and Boyd was getting very emotional. I kept looking at Danny and Danny was looking at me, and we were trying to keep our emotions in check just because, you know the guy and you grow up with the guy in many respects and see him flourish as a man, as a footballer, and he's one of the good guys, Boyd. And it's been very, very sad to see the way that his career ended, but he's made the right decision. Trent Robinson made some pretty pointed comments to me afterwards And they laid it out for at the start of the year about how this three-stage plan to get Boyd back on the field. He hadn't even started contact yet. And when he came in to training, though, after at the end of a session, he was still feeling the symptoms of concussion, most notably the headaches. And he hadn't even started contact. So that was a month ago. A week ago, he called Trent Robertson in and said, can you come to my home? And as soon as he said that to his coach, it was pretty clear what he was going to tell him when he walked through the front door. And, yeah, that arrived at the press conference on Monday morning when Boyd, in front of all his family and friends and all his teammates, a lot of his former teammates, people like Mitchell Pearce and Todd Carney, Brad Fittler, his New South Wales coach, Wade Graham, who's going through his own concussion issues, was in the front row, and he told us that he had played his last game of football. So very sad, but a very wise and well-thought-out decision.
Yeah, 29 years of age, and we talk about the toughness of footballers. You know, you put it into perspective where beyond the field there, they don't want to go off. They'll do everything they can to stay on. They want to stay by their teammates, and then put it into a bigger picture for Boyd, for instance. He would want to have keep playing rugby league. That's what he does. That's what he loves. And at 29, he has to make that tough call. So you're right, it's sad. But it's not a reflection of his career. The way that it ended is not a reflection of what he did on the field. What do you think epitomises Boyd Cordner, the player, across club, state and national level?
I will never forget interviewing him one-on-one in the ANZ Stadium change room after they lost Game 2 of the 2017 Origin Series. So New South Wales had won the first game, and then they've come to ANZ to wrap up the series, a game they should have won. Now, that was the game, you'll recall, where Jonathan Thurston did his shoulder. And Joey was quite critical afterwards because they didn't... It was the game that got away. It was the Origin series that should have been won there and then. 2017, Laurie Daly's last as coach of New South Wales. And I remember talking to Boyd one-on-one after that match, and he was standing there with tears in his eyes then because the result meant that much to him. Now, you don't see that too often. And I remember writing it that there was no one in that room that cared more about the result than he did. While some of those New South Wales players who were moved on the following year by Brad Fittler seemed to be joking around and didn't really, you know, oh, it'll take care of itself in Game 3 when we play up in Brisbane, which didn't happen. But just to see how much the result meant to Boyd Cordner, standing there one-on-one in an interview with a journalist with tears in his eyes, and that's the thing that sort of stands out for me, how much he cared about the result. They talk in rugby league about the tough run, the one off the line, the tough run where you know you're going to get smashed by three defenders, and Boyd Cordner was always the player that took the tough run. You know, and that's how I'll remember him. I'll also remember talking to him in Perth in 2019. After they lost that first game, I remember they had to win that game in Perth in game 2, and his ankle was black and blue, and he'd suffered it in the first game. And George Paponis, who's not just the chairman of the New South Wales Rugby League but also a doctor, remember seeing it in the rooms after game 1 and said, there's no way that you'll play, but Boyd Cordner played through the pain of it in game 2. They won that game, and then they won the decider in Sydney off that Tedesco try at the end. So he had suffered so many injuries. He'd done an ACL on his left knee. He'd had operations on his right. He'd had two operations on both ankles, broken jaw, calf injuries, the whole lot. He was a wounded warrior for most of his career, but still played on and still got to the levels of football that he did. So, but when it comes to injuries to the brain, that's the one that is a lot more tricky and the one that the game is trying to come to terms with as much as Boyd Cordner.
Yeah, he'll be still involved in the game in some capacity, whether it's obviously at the Roosters or even a higher level. I think the interesting part is what's next for Boyd Cordner. Is it down the coaching line or is it down the player welfare line? I think the good thing is that Boyd Cordner is not lost to the game of NRL tonight at the ICC. Gallen v. Hooney. Are you going? Are you going to buy your subscription? Are you invested in this one? What do you think happens?
I've got a big piece in the Herald today, so I've done my job to sell pay-per-view. Tickets, pay-per-view subscriptions. I'm very interested in it. I went down, I've got a piece in the Herald today. I went down and saw Gal Spar a couple of weeks ago down in Cronulla. Holy hell, he doesn't muck around. And that's the whole theme. They think he's an ex-footballer who's just trying a bit of boxing. And as he's very experienced trainer Graham Shaw, who has trained many champions, including Daniel Gill, to two world titles, says he's not that anymore. He's not a rugby player who just fights on the side. He's a boxer. And I saw him spar this day against a guy called Joe Goodall, who won silver at the Commonwealth Games of 2014. He got out of the ring and he said, "That's not a corporate fighter, that's a boxer." So Justice Hooney is a short price favourite to win this bout, some say in the first couple of rounds. But Gal can take some punishment if what I saw that day down in Cronulla a couple of weeks ago was any indication. So it's going to be an intriguing fight. Who knows with boxing?
I take my hat off to Paul Gallen for what he's been able to do in this sport, and the amount of publicity and everything that he can generate and the level that he's gone to. Is it worth $60? Is it worth $59.95 just to sign up for the one night?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? I don't know. I suppose what your personal choice is. I was thinking this, you know, but a lot of people just go to the pub. Well, you're going to spend $60 at the pub anyway, aren't you? On alcohol and pork crackle, beer nuts.
The chips.
Chips.
An Uber home.
Uber home. Maybe another pub.
A sanction the next day.
Meeting with the integrity unit. Just get the $60.
Jesus, you're right. Actually,
that's good maths, isn't it?
Yeah, when you put it like that, you've just saved me thousands, absolutely thousands.
And maybe a call from your wife.
Correct. Be Justice Hooney tonight at the ICC. Good on you, Webby. Great to chat this morning.
Thanks, Matty.
We'll read all about it in the Sydney Morning Herald, and we'll regroup again. Don't get too comfy in that chair. I'm back
I
next
love
week.
It.
We'll regroup again. Andrew Webster, the chief sports writer at the SMH. Time for the 9:30 news.